Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us once again for another installment of Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. We're delighted you've chosen to spend the next 30 minutes with us. We pray that this particular message and study today would be a blessing and a benefit to you. The topic of the title of our message today is The Believer's Blessings in Christ. And although we're going to look at a number of passages today, the one verse that I want to consider as our text for the message is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. And in this particular epistle, chapter 1, verse 30, this is what Paul said. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. In this passage, this could be easily considered and is considered by many as probably one of the most comprehensive single passages in all of Scripture. It clearly speaks about the incredible blessings that belong to the believer because of the fact that they are in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is imperative that we understand what this passage is teaching, for if we do so, we will be able to live in Him more successfully and truly experience the blessings that are ours by virtue of that relationship. Now, the first thing I want to look at, there are several points that are going to be made from this one verse. The first thing I want to look at is the source of the believer's blessing. At the beginning of the verse, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he says, it is because of him. According to Paul, the source of the believer's blessings is God himself. We are, according to Paul, in Christ Jesus because of him. I want to look at a few other passages that support what Paul is stating here in this passage. One, for example, is found in James chapter 1 in verses 15 through 18. Listen to what James said. He said, Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Listen to what he says in verse 16. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Well, according to James, he seems to agree with Paul in stating that the source of all good things, the source of blessing for the believer, and for that matter, the source of blessing for all human beings, for God pours out his blessings even on those who have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. After all, he allows the sun to shine on all and the rain to fall on all for the benefit of all. But certainly in the life of the believer, according to Paul and according to James, the source of the believer's blessings is God. He is the one who sends down to us all that is good and all that it is a blessing for us. Another passage we can look at is in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Listen to what Paul said in the Ephesian church. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with everything, or with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Who is the source of the believer's blessings? Well, according to Ephesians, according to 1 Corinthians, according to James, it is God. God is the source of all blessing. God is the source of every spiritual blessing. It is God who has blessed us with everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. It is God who has blessed us with everything that we need, not only to be able to live successfully as Christians, and by successfully I mean live a life of of obedience and submission to the Lordship of Christ, but in order to be able to accomplish great things for the sake of Christ and for the kingdom of God. One more passage that we can look at is found in Ephesians, once again, chapter 2. In verses 8 and 9, this is an important passage to know because it teaches a number of very important truths. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, a well-known passage, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves." Listen, "it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that He has created for us to do beforehand. But it is God who is the source of the believer's blessings, beginning with the fact that He's the one who gives us the gift of faith. He is the one that exercises grace and mercy and love, and He is the one who alone brings about a person's salvation. I am saved because God is the author and the source of all blessings. So we have been able to establish, as we consider the believer's blessings in Christ, we have been able to establish from Scripture that the source of all blessings, the source of all good things, is God Himself. Now, like I said earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 is one of the most comprehensive passages, single passages in all of Scripture, because it talks about the relationship that we have now between ourselves and Christ. Paul stated that it is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus. In fact, he goes on to say in Ephesians 2, or in verse 29, the previous verse to the one that we were just looking at, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Listen to what he says in verse 29. "So that no one may boast before him." Listen, it is important to realize that not only is God the source of all the believer's blessings, but that He provides those blessings so that none of us may be able to boast about the good that comes about or results from God's blessings. We cannot take credit for our salvation. We cannot take credit for the blessings that we receive after our conversion, after our trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior. We cannot take credit for anything. Everything that is accomplished in and through us is accomplished by God, and He does so that none of us could boast about the blessings and the changes and miracles that have taken place in our own life. Now let's look at the explanation of the believer's blessings as they are highlighted for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. First of all, we are told by Paul that God is the source of all blessing, but Christ is the believer's wisdom. Listen to what he says in verse 30. "So that it is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." Now, what is not meant? What is it that is not meant by wisdom? Listen. It is not the fulfilling of desires of the flesh. It is not the accumulation of wealth. It is not the accumulation of simple facts, of mental assent. When Paul says that Christ is the believer's wisdom, the context of this verse helps us understand what it is that he means. Christ is our wisdom. This means that it is not to know ourselves. We are made to know. First of all, let me break it down a little bit further. If we are to understand what Paul means when he says that Christ is our wisdom, we need to understand, first of all, that The wisdom of God is revealed to us through His Word, and we need to be acquainted with His Word. If we are going to be wise people, first and foremost, we need to know ourselves. We need to know what the Bible says about us. We need to know what the Bible says about us individually. We were made by God to know ourselves. The more we know ourselves, the more we understand our role in the relationship and our needs in terms of where we are with Christ Jesus. It is also meant that we are to know our own nature. If we are going to be wise and Christ is our wisdom, then we must first of all know ourselves. We must know our nature. We must know that we were once in darkness and that because of we have entered into a personal relationship with Christ, we are now in light. We have received positional wisdom. We know things that we could have never have possibly known before because of the fact that we lived in darkness, we were totally depraved, and we were incapable of anything that was divine or understanding anything that was divine apart from our relationship with Christ. So not only should we know ourselves, and that's part of wisdom, but we should know what we are by nature, who we are by nature. And thirdly, it is also to know who we are by His grace. Listen, Christ has become our wisdom because as we have entered into a personal relationship with Him, as we have grown in that relationship, Christ, through His Word, has revealed to us who we were, why we were, and who we now are. We come to know ourselves, we come to know who we were in our sinful nature, and we come to know who we now are because of the grace of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. According to verse 24, He is the one whom God's wisdom chose as the way of salvation. We're not only saved by His wisdom, but we are given His wisdom to replace our own. Listen, we need to make an important application right here. God, through Christ, has, by allowing Christ to become our wisdom, His wisdom has been given to us to replace our own wisdom. True wisdom wasn't or doesn't come from the world, but rather from God. You no longer have to make choices or depend on your own natural, worldly, carnal wisdom to make decisions and choices in life. Now you can perceive things through the eyes of God because Christ has become our wisdom, and the wisdom of Christ has replaced our natural wisdom. We have now the ability to perceive things as God does, and we have now the ability, because we have been set free from the power of sin, the dominion of sin, and the clutches of Satan, we have now the ability to make choices based on the fact that we know how Christ thinks, and the wisdom which is Christ has been given to us and replaced our own. This verse also tells us that Christ is the believer's righteousness. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. So that you, that's verse 29, verse 30. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness. According to Paul, according to this verse, Christ is our righteousness. Christ has become our righteousness. We as believers have experienced righteousness, that is justification, because Christ has become our righteousness. For example, I want to look at another passage here. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, 24, 25. Listen to what Paul said. But also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Christ has justified us, and because He has justified us, we have now experienced His righteousness. When we entered into a personal relationship with Christ, His righteousness was imputed to us. In other words, His righteousness was credited to us, and when God the Father looks upon a believer, He no longer sees that sinner, He no longer sees that condemned sinner, He now sees a person who is worthy of the kingdom of heaven, because in Him He sees the righteousness of Christ. Listen, the Bible teaches us that Christ has become our righteousness. What that means is this: when we are worthy of entering heaven because the righteousness of Christ, which has been imputed to us, is good enough to allow us entrance into heaven, since it's perfect righteousness. And when God looks at the believer, it is not as if we had never sinned, for God knows the reality, but the righteousness of Christ makes us righteous, since it's been imputed to us, and has merited us entrance into heaven. We have sinned, therefore we have been condemned to eternal damnation because of our sin. But when the righteousness of Christ, when Christ our righteousness was imputed to us, God can take our sin and set it aside, forgive us of that sin, because the sin issue has been satisfied by the sacrifice and the righteous life, the perfect sinless life of Christ. It's no wonder why the believer, out of gratitude and love for his Savior, lives a life that seeks to honor and please and glorify God. So according to Paul, God is not only the source of the believer's blessings, but Christ has become our wisdom. Christ is the believer's wisdom. According to Paul, Christ is the believer's righteousness. And according to Paul, if you look further, Christ is also the believer's holiness or sanctification. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness. Christ is the believer's holiness. Christ is our sanctification. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let me read you that passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verses 13 through 15, listen to what Paul said. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. For you, brothers, become imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same thing those churches are suffering from the Jews. Verse 15, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to all men. Listen, Christ becomes the believer's holiness. In 2 Thessalonians, let's look at one more passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Let me read you this passage. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Christ, in ourselves, we have nothing on the by the way of personal holiness. Our positional holiness comes by virtue of our relationship with Christ. And it is God who has set us apart to live holy, righteous life. It is in Christ that we experience renewal, rebirth, regeneration, and renovation. It is by the righteousness of Christ that we become legally alive, and by sanctification, we are made spiritually alive. And that is important stuff that we need to understand. By the one, we are entitled to glory. By the other, we are made ready for glory. Christ is not only the believer's wisdom, he is the believer's righteousness, and he is the believer's holiness. And finally, he says also again in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, he says that Christ is one more thing in terms of our blessings in Christ, the believer's blessings in Christ. Notice he says, the last thing he says is, I'll read the whole verse. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Christ is also the believer's redemption. What does that mean? That is glorification. For example, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, listen to what Paul said. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Listen, Christ is the Redeemer's redemption. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, listen to what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. Ephesians 4:30, he said, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Listen, these verses undoubtedly speak of redemption in its final aspect, when the Lord will come to take us away and to take us home with himself, and where we will be fully experiencing redemption in spirit, soul, and body. A.T. Pearson, in speaking of Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, and I'll read you that passage, says this, Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. Paul said here, and those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And this is the meaning of redemption. In this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it ultimately speaks of our glorified state. And A.T. Pearson, in making reference to verse 30, the passage we just read, into the life and ministry of Christ, said this, his deed and his words and his practices, these show him as the wisdom of God. Then come his death, burial, and resurrection. These have to do with our righteousness. Then his 40 days walk among men, his ascension on up high, the gift of the Spirit, and his session at the right hand of God have to do with our sanctification. Then his coming again, which has to do with our redemption. A.T. Pearson speaking of verse 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen. To redeem means to buy back. God, by Christ, has purchased us from the power of sin. He is our redemption, the one to whom we have been delivered us from the power of sin, from the devil, from hell, and from the grave. Listen, the source of the Christian's blessing is God. God is the source of all blessing. And I don't know that we as Christians can truly understand all those blessings. I don't know that even as studious, faithful students of the Word of God, we can ever come to understand all the blessings that we have received by virtue of our personal relationship with Christ. But we must recognize and bring glory to God and be grateful to God and communicate to others the faithfulness of God by recognizing that it is God who is the source of all our blessings, and to recognize that by virtue of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Christ has become our wisdom. The wisdom of Christ has been given to us in order to replace our own wisdom. Christ has become our righteousness. The righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us, and by virtue of us now having the imputed righteousness of Christ, we are worthy of heaven. We are in essence given the right to enter heaven because of the righteousness of Christ. Christ has become our holiness. Christ has become our sanctification. In other words, Christ is the one who sets us apart and allows us to experience holy living. And Christ is our redemption. Ultimately, in Christ, we will find our glorification. It is in Christ that we will find ourselves once and for all and forever in heaven in the presence of the Almighty God. If you are a Christian, you have divine wisdom and a saving knowledge of good and divine things. Well, we've reached the end of our lesson. Father, we thank you for this time. May you be glorified as we seek to faithfully study your word. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We have reached the end of our program. We want to encourage you to contact us. Let us know what God is doing in your life as a result of this ministry. I am going to give you our mailing address. You can send your correspondence to Truth to Live By to P.O. Box 690517. Charlotte, North Carolina 28227. You may send us an email to truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org or visit us on the web, on the internet at www.rffiministries.org. Thank you and God bless you.